Welcome to episode 9 of ESPN's number one challenge podcast. I'm Billy Gill. I'm joined by Chucky Dog, Charlie Kravitz, and E-Liz, as always. Last week was our biggest episode where we were joined by the GOAT, Johnny Bananas. This week, we have potentially huge guests just judged on Zoom links that we sent out, but one of them has been very evasive. So we sent out an invite to Josh, and we're hoping that Josh joins us. Also, we sent out an invite to Amy Schumer because we found out from Johnny Bananas that Amy Schumer loves the challenge, and we figured, what does it hurt to just invite Amy Schumer every single week and see if maybe one week she joins? So that's kind of one thing that's going on in the background is every week I'm just sending Amy Schumer a Zoom invite link. So if you know Amy Schumer, if you are Amy Schumer, just check your DMs and check your like fan setup text situation, because every week I'm just going to be sending out invites to our Zoom, and hopefully one day Amy Schumer will join us.
Should you maybe send it like not on the day that we're recording?
Like in advance? I feel like Amy Schumer is a busy woman, and like if I send it 2 days before, she's not going to put it in her calendar, I need to join. What I'm hoping is Amy kind of catches it on a day where she's not that busy, and she's like, you know what? I'm going to join, and we're going to talk about the challenge. So we'll see if that happens.
Hey, once we have our own podcast feed, hashtag need the feed, Amy Schumer is going to come a calling.
Wow. So we're just going to start.
Hashtag need the feed.
Just going to start the hashtag need the feed now then, I guess.
Tweet at hashtag need the feed.
I don't think that's going to make it. That's going to be
deleting everything for the last 45 seconds.
That's why I cleaned it up with the clean in and out, in case you wanted to keep it in.
Yep, that's bleeped. I don't even know that I'm going to clean it. I'm just straight up.
Just bleep the last 15 seconds. Then people wonder what will be said.
Should we talk about the challenge?
I was just going to say, should we just start the recap or just start more campaigns?
Let's start the recap.
All right, guys. What a journey episode 10 of the challenge was. This is my favorite week of every season. It was trivia week. So let's pick up there. And I got to say, of course, they brought all of our favorite challengers 50 feet above water, had them hanging to foam missiles this time. But I got to say off the top, the challenge was a lot harder this time. Normally, the trivia is like, how many seconds are in 3 minutes? And you have these people mess it up, and that's hilarious. Some of these questions, not that easy.
Did you try to play along like you would with Jeopardy? I love that. I guess it's everyone's natural instinct, right?
How'd you do?
I'm ashamed to admit it. I got tripped up on the same record mile time that Corey got tripped up on. So
no way.
I thought the one easy question.
Yeah, that was the easiest one.
Well, I answered too fast in my own living room, and then when Preston came on and started talking to me, I was like, wow, I let the Loch Ness monster down. So yeah, Corey, I'm with you. It was a tough question.
I wasn't good with the shark attacks or the hottest thing on record, and both were like North America related.
Oh no, but those were difficult questions. I mean, like South Africa and Australia for shark attacks, that's like Great White and Bull Shark Central.
How about how maniacal TJ was?
Oh, I mean, man, TJ.
Oh, TJ loves it.
I also felt like the guys were disproportionately excited about all of the girls falling in the water. I think that everyone who was standing on shore was excited, but the guys were taking a lot of joy in these women dropping 50 feet into icy cold water.
And I got to say, I was terrified because we know that challenger Melissa is with child and she's falling.
She didn't know that.
But we know that now.
And those were not soft falls. If you noticed, the rockets were breaking when they would hit the water. They were hitting hard.
Well, I think they designed them that way. It looks like, to get really technical on the challenge props, it looks like they had a large inflatable tube and they almost had foam, like whatever those things that come off a rocket ship are, like rudders or fins. Yeah, the fins were foam. But I was a little worried about that too. Although, Eliz, to be fair, I think Ginny in particular really enjoyed watching Josh fall. Ginny and Dee, I think, really enjoyed that.
The belly flop was amazing. Yeah. I mean, it had to have hurt. That water seemed like it was cold. That was a long fall. That belly flop was masterful.
Poor Josh.
Yeah. Anyway, so the main takeaway from this week was, one, that it was sponsored by Burger King on the front end. TJ promised the winners of this challenge a Burger King feast.
But gotta love the king, baby!
But TJ, always a trickster, didn't tell them that the winners were also playing for $5,000. So when Bananas made his move and intentionally tanked the challenge, setting up a West win, He did not get any daily money. And our winners this week were D and Wes. And they chose fellow Alliance member, former hookup, Rogan, to be the third person in the BK
round. To clarify, D's former hookup.
Yeah, D's former hookup.
I think it's also fair to say, too, there that Rogan also kind of blew it in the same way that Bananas did, albeit later, but they were negotiating. We had a little Rogan-West negotiation while hanging on the missiles, and Rogan, upon falling and learning he lost $5,000, was less than enthused.
Of course. So we move on from our daily challenge where we go back to the house, and Johnny Bananas immediately begins his campaign to throw himself into elimination. It is his time to go down and get a red skull. This causes a bit of internal strife in the unholy alliance between Wes and Bananas, because Wes is now in a position of power and also needs his red skull. From there, we get Johnny nominated in, and we head to the bar where Johnny Bananas, at a dive bar in Prague, strolls up with a Burger King crown on his head and a large goblet, a country club pour of Merlot, and sits down for a meeting of the minds with Wes Bergman, at which we have a very cranky Wes saying, "I wanted to go in, and you stole my thunder."
I did think it was fair of Wes to say that was selfish of Bananas. But Bananas, to be fair, that's some pretty good strategy. If you feel like you want to force his hand there and that's where you want to dissolve the alliance, I'm actually surprised Wes wasn't more upset with Bananas over the course of the episode when Bananas immediately did that.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say is that Bananas has taken it really easy this year on daily challenges, and he's someone who has sort of mastered a lot of these games and can pretty much win a daily challenge at will. So I assume from Bananas' perspective, that's a favor he could pay forward. He could win it the next week and set up a matchup that would have been favorable for Wes going into the finals.
I was surprised going into the challenge, not to get too ahead, when, you know, Bananas and Wes face off against each other. I didn't realize Wes had won so many more eliminations than Bananas, where he had 14 skulls and Bananas only had 10.
Yeah. I mean, Wes has had a lot of enemies in this game, and for a long time was an enemy of Johnny, Evan, and Kenny. And those guys controlled the social game for half a decade, and they just wanted Wes out every season.
When you think about it, though, Bananas said last week, I think, that he's been in 20 of the last 23 seasons of the challenge. So he goes into elimination like once every other season, basically, if he's only won 10 of them, right? Well, I guess he's lost them, so he doesn't get a skull there. But he's not in eliminations that often.
No.
You know,
he went seasons without going in.
We should refer to our challenge statistician on that. See, I think we saw a spreadsheet last week with Bananas' elimination record on it.
Yeah, 2-10 since he turned 31. I guess 3-10 now. So,
and by the way, happy birthday to Jay last week, and Jay turned 31. So while Jay seems like an up and comer on the show, if you go back to what our statistician says, he's already on the decline after just
two episodes. Really, when you told us that it was Jay's birthday, and unfortunately for him, he turned 31. I forgot about that stat, and I thought you were just like, over the hill, 31, sucks for Jay. And I didn't understand, but now I do.
Yeah.
Thanks for the refresher.
Oh, it's wonderful. Anyway, back in the house, Wes's internal strife continues as we see him in his traditional position of lying in his bed, tucked in to his covers. It seems like Wes always is as he's making strategy decisions. This time, however, he is surrounded by his two friends who certainly have TikToks, Nelson and Corey, who are trolling him into going into the elimination against Johnny Bananas.
The TikTok saying, boys.
It'll be history.
I loved them together this episode. Like, they were just joyful buddies. And I loved them talking to Wes. They were so happy together.
Is TikTok boys, is that a public nickname yet? Or is that yet another nickname that we need to put our stamp on and make public?
That's a Charlie Kravitz nickname.
Yeah.
I have an embarrassing admission, and we're 10 episodes in. I didn't realize that the tribunal was not part of the public nominations until this episode, which I shouldn't say. Like, I don't know if you noticed, they had to go and they told Wes everything that went on in the house nominations, because the tribunal doesn't take part in that. They skip out on all of that.
I actually thought I was stupid because I wrote that in my notes. I said, why wasn't Wes at the round table? And then as you guys were talking, I figured I missed something, and it was after the fact, or he was sick or something. So I didn't realize that either. I don't think that's a miss on your part, Billy.
Speaking of those nominations, we can move to the elimination itself, where we saw a drywall with multiple squares, a Johnny Bananas classic who has defeated maybe the GOAT, Jordan Wisely, in a very similar challenge where Jordan volunteered himself to go against Bananas. And as Bananas said, he brought the thunder. So this time, Wes sees that elimination, and he goes down there to face off against his good buddy. It's a challenge where you have to break holes in this drywall and find three batteries to charge your station. And a lot of luck in this one, because they're both pretty much climbing and equal athletically, but it's just about sort of who can find these batteries in the holes at the same time. And Johnny pulls out on top and wins, which leads to one of my favorite moments, the friendship montage.
Can I ask a question before we talk about Hootie and the friendship montage? Have any of you three gentlemen ever punched a hole through drywall?
Charlie Hume for sure has.
100% Hume has.
Okay, great. I mean, I was going to volunteer it, but yeah, you're correct. I have punched a hole in drywall, yeah.
My knuckles hurt watching that elimination challenge. Is that,
so
how did you feel watching them punch holes through 30 different pieces of drywall?
That's going to start to hurt. You know, one time through the drywall, especially as is often the case, you maybe had a few drinks, then that hurts less. But if you saw, they were wearing like almost miniature boxing gloves. And they were also wearing what looked to be like construction boots that I assume are steel-toed boots. But I was actually curious to see what y'all thought about their sort of strategy on that. Because initially I thought what Wes was outlining to create a ladder, almost exactly like what you're talking about, Kravitz, with the elimination that pitted Bananas against Jordan. But to create a ladder and then go over, I guess the one thing, and it kind of goes in line with what you're thinking, Elizabeth, that I thought they could have done more of is rather than punching, kicking. Because you can probably get through there more quickly and then use your hands to just pull the drywall away so you can see whether or not the battery's in there. But, I mean, ultimately, they kicked out every single square, right? I think that's what TJ said at the end.
The kneeing the wall was really affected by Johnny. But, yeah, like, that's what I was going to say.
How about the karate kick that Johnny flew in
the start? The first kick. What a showman.
That has injury written all over it and immediately ending your run on the season because you, like, injure your leg somehow or break your foot.
Johnny Bananas out for two seasons with a torn ACL from kicking through drywall.
Hey, Charlie, you want a pretty bad joke? So Johnny Bananas got those three batteries, right? Guess he brought the lightning, huh?
Hey, there we go.
That was horrible.
I wish everyone could have seen Charlie Hume's physical preparation for that, the way you like sallied up to your computer to say that.
It was... I mean, I knew it was bad. Actually, I guess I was gonna compare it to the Cleveland Browns joke, but then I earnestly thought that was gonna be a good joke and immediately lost all confidence. But yeah, you know, I just figured I'd throw that in there. That's in honor of Greg Cody.
It's all good.
You guys mentioned it before. They each knocked out every single hole. So were these things like laying down like underneath the holes? You had to dig around and find it because they were there. Like they both got them all. They just didn't find them somehow.
Something that Johnny said in his first interview while the challenge was going on, he was like, this is going to be about being thorough because he kicked out the first one and he was like, oh, this is like a sort of a deeper crevice behind the drywall than I was anticipating. So it wasn't really just a show and go type of deal.
Yeah. I loved the Hootie. I was watching the time because I was watching on delay and I was watching the time of the episode and seeing how much was left. And I was hoping the elimination itself was going to end quickly because I figured there was going to be a big back end for Johnny and Wes. And it is pretty cool, especially talking to Johnny last week about this very thing and talking about CT and just thinking about challenge legacy at a stage where you're like almost 40 and you probably don't have that many left. It was so cool to see that. It was so cool to see them like both recognize that they had a moment that's going to be like iconic for the show forever.
Oh yeah. I mean like that's the Kobe LeBron finals we never got.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts though is when TJ called Johnny Bananas a legend and they just flashed to Corey giving the biggest eye roll of all time.
Yes. TJ, by the way, I made a mental note of this. TJ is such a great host and not your typical reality or competition show host where TJ introduces them, right? And he's like, all right, let's get it done. It's going to be f-ing awesome. And it's like, TJ.
He's the anti-Jeff Probst. The exact opposite guy is Jeff Probst.
Every time when he was doing trivia and someone fell, he'd do like the laugh with his tongue all the way out.
The belly laugh.
I mean, maniacal. Absolutely maniacal.
The tease they gave us when Johnny answered the trivia, your mother, TJ, and we got a stern look, only to come back from break with TJ's like, ha ha, my mom doesn't play soccer, Banana.
Anti-Probst. That's so great. Hashtag Anthony Probst.
Hashtag get TJ on ESPN's number one challenge podcast.
Hashtag need the feed. Hashtag Lauropod.
Should we talk to Josh?
All right. We're joined now by, I'd have to say he's one of my favorite challengers of time, which is a lot because it's only been a couple seasons. We finally were able to track down Josh. Josh, welcome to ESPN's number one podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me, man. Like I said before, I'm really excited to join you guys. It's been hard to get me on here, but I'm excited to be here and talk with you guys. So yeah, and thanks for the love, dude. I appreciate that. That's a huge compliment.
The thing about you that I like, and Bananas really helped also, because Banana was really complimentary of you last week. You seem to be really relatable and just kind of like a normal dude, where everyone else, like some of the people are out there and they're like, you know, Jack, and they're just into themselves. They just want to be famous. And you seem to just be Josh, no matter what's going on.
I mean, that's the one thing I'm proud of. Like, even though I have moments where I cringe at, and I get upset at myself watching back, it's real, man. I wear my heart on my sleeves, and I'm authentically myself every single time I watch, good or bad. And I, as much as there's moments where I regret, there, you know, that's how I felt in the moment, and I just got to learn from it, grow from it, and be better. But I pride myself in just being true to who I am. And I never signed up. I never went on TV for, like, fame or none of that, dude. I don't even think that of myself, but I just wanted to make money, you know? Now I'm lucky that it's turned into something with the challenge.
Well, two of the things Banana said was he said you're very honest and you're very loyal. And it's interesting, like, juxtaposing those type of qualities against what you see in a lot of other people on the challenge where they're kind of, like, conniving, backstabbing. So do you make, like, a conscious decision? I guess you said it right there. You're just who you are. But do you make a decision to say – this is how I'm going to play my game, and it's going to be different from everyone else's?
You know what? I never even really thought about it like that. But, yeah, I do play my game like that because that's who I am. It's just I'm very – my thing is I'm extremely loyal in real life. I've always been like that. And what I'm learning with playing the challenge is that's burned me. Only three seasons I've been burned because I expected the same loyalty in return. This is the first time where I watch myself back and I'm like, all right, Josh, it's time to, you know – not invest so much into certain relationships or expect the same loyalty in return and kind of guard myself a bit. But no, I do go in just being myself, and that's how I play the game, just being honest and trying to remain loyal to the people I give my word. It's worked out for me, but I think in future seasons, I'm definitely going to have to change that up because it's burned me, you know, two seasons in a row.
So I guess I have to go there from that. Where does everything stand with Wes right now? Because he's defending you on Twitter and stuff. And
I'm not even talking about Wes. I think that with relationships that I'm talking about is Pauly and Swaggy with the whole Big Brother thing. That's where I'm going with that. Wes, dude, honestly, man, it's weird because I feel like Wes is great at his craft. He's so good at this show. I mean, he's one of the best ever play it. But I think that with Wes is the thing that scares me about him, and it's not about me thinking he's my rival or anything. Wes is good at the game. When you live with somebody the way that he plays the game in that environment, it terrifies you. And I know that I was never somebody in his corner. I was never his number, never an ally. So in my head, going into the season, I was like, this guy's going to f***ing gun for me. Probably a bit paranoid. I was probably a bit – watching back, I was like, bro, I was definitely paranoid. But I mean, like, we just got off of season 34 where I blindsided the guy. It was a few months. Now we're watching – we filmed probably 6 months ago, but we only had probably like 2 months before jumping into from season 34 to 35. So we were still on edge and we had just done the reunion. So I thought he was going to gun for me. Now I know that the guy was not threatened by me at all. And I wish I would have known that in the house. I would have been way more chill, but dude, Wes is good at the game and there's no bad blood there. And I think moving forward, I'm leaving that alone. Yeah.
Stay ready. You don't have to get ready. I'm with it.
Yeah, true, true.
So far this season, though, you have been pretty chill, Josh, at least what we've seen so far. I mean, I don't know if something's coming that we haven't seen yet, but in the past seasons, you're known to be somewhat emotional. You wear your heart on your sleeve. This season, aside from your back and forth with Wes, you've kind of been under control. No drama, fight. Well,
wait a second.
We got to go through it step by step.
Okay, well, John, let me ask this because it's funny. We've had a couple people on, and we're watching the show, and you're seeing people say, the bunker's making me crazy. The bunker's making me crazy. Yeah. And you're like, can that be a real thing? But then the people say it is. So was that the whole deal at the bar with Swaggy, like, is it a little bit of that? Like, what, like, kind of walk us through what was going on there and just in the bunker in general.
So there's a lot that factored into that huge blow up. I think we were probably a month and a half. We were probably a month into filming already, and 100%, bro, that bunker, it's crazy because in our interviews, we all talked about, I mean, we were having breakdowns. People were, I would say, at the point of depression. Like, you know, it was so hard living in that environment, and I've been in that sort of confinement with Big Brother, but I never put myself back in that situation, and that's the first time that I, like, isolated myself like that again, because in past seasons, we had a bit more freedom. Dude, that bunker broke us down, and I think just being confined with each other 24/7, they know what they're doing, bro. They knew what the setup was, insane, and it definitely got to us. But with the Swaggy thing, I'm really upset. If I'm being honest, I'm upset how the way they edited that. I get that there's so many storylines, but I mean, if they knew that that was going to be such a big blow up, they could have at least shown different conversations that I try to have with him, where I felt like Swaggy was really friendly with me off camera. And as soon as there was a scene being filmed, or there was a moment where, you know, there was a camera, we were talking about something game related, I felt like Swaggy was constantly going out of his way to make me look bad, bringing up my Big Brother season of where I was emotional. Yeah, facts, but it's like, if you're my friend, then why are you trying to point out all my flaws? So it had nothing to do with the whole West situation. That just added to the fact that I was already calculating that he was trying to make me look bad on camera. So when he said hypocrite and he couldn't back it up, I was like, all right, now I see your intentions. So for that, and the drinks were flowing, you know, he doesn't drink, bro. So what's your intention to pick a fight with me while I'm just trying to enjoy my night with my friends? Like, he inserted himself in that conversation and it blew up. With that being said, I was wrong, completely wrong how I handled that. And that's the thing. Like, it's like, did I feel that in the moment? And yeah, but was I wrong? And I feel really bad for throwing the drink 100%. And that was foul. But I feel like there was a lot that wasn't shown that is why I blew up. I didn't just blow up out of nowhere. You know, it was a buildup of constantly feeling like this kid just didn't have my back and he was going out of his way to make me look a certain way, you know?
Mm. It was great to be, though. Don't apologize.
We loved you standing on the bar.
Yeah.
It was a great shot. It was a great shot.
Yeah,
right?
Everybody's like, oh, it's good to be. I'm like, yeah, at my expense.
I was Team Josh there.
Thanks, well, buddy. I appreciate it.
You alluded a little bit to Big Brother, and full disclosure, this is my first season of The Challenge in probably 15 years, but these guys know that I love Big Brother and reality TV, so I've been brought into the Challenge circle. Something that you mentioned, you know, the house or the bunker kind of makes you go crazy. There are physical challenges. It's a lot about relationships and things like that. Yeah. I don't know if the question is which one's harder, which one do you like more, but can you talk a little bit about the differences between Big Brother and The Challenge?
Yeah. So I think for me, it's completely different. Like, there's a lot of similarities. Obviously, we're competing for a lot of money. It's a competition show, but it's different. I feel like with Big Brother, there's more of like the whole social game, and it's more like, you know, it's a huge mental game, and it's mentally exhausting and draining with Big Brother. I feel like with The Challenge, you can really rely on your physical abilities. Like, you can talk, you can be brash, you can be a bold personality, and at the end of the day, you can go into elimination and back it up. With Big Brother, there's a house rule. You know, if you go in hot, you're going to put a target on your back, even though I did that, you know?
It still worked out for you.
On both shows. But I just think that it's, for me, it's just two different games, and I really enjoyed The Challenge way more because it's like, you know, I think with the whole physical aspect, I played sports my whole life, I'm very competitive, and with Big Brother, I feel like, you know, I just think they build characters and they build this character and that's the only way they portray you. With The Challenge, from an edit standpoint, they show every side of you, you know? And they don't try to build this, sort of character out of you. Instead, they show you're good, you're bad, and just the real you. And that's what I appreciate from a production standpoint.
How did you feel watching Big Brother back? Because you won Big Brother, but
I didn't watch.
Oh, really? Because the most famous things from Big Brother. Well, Big Brother's different because you're watching live, so you have to go back and watch months. But Big Brother, the biggest takeaways from you: one, meatballs; two, pots and pans tormenting Jess and Cody, just going around making as much noise as possible. And that's not what we really see with you at The Challenge.
Yeah. I probably watched a few episodes. I watched the finale, like the first episode, but just watching that whole season back is so hard for me because, like I said, there's a lot that, you know, as much as people feel like they see everything, you honestly don't, man. There's a whole week that we filmed for the first two episodes that a lot goes down. And I feel like that first week sets the tempo of the relationships that are formed, how the game's going to be played, and all that stuff. And I just feel like, you know, I dealt with a lot of personal jabs very early on, and that's what led for me just reacting and going back crazy on that show. So just watching that season is really hard for me. It played out to my advantage. Everything worked out. I got everything I wanted out of Big Brother. But on a personal note, that was probably the hardest filming experience for me. And, you know, I'm glad that I started with Big Brother. I'm glad that I had such an intense show like that to be like the one that I did first, because now with the challenge, everything just seems kind of like light. It doesn't seem that personal. It doesn't feel that heavy. And I just get to enjoy it more. But yeah, Big Brother was hard for me, dude. It really was.
You did great, yeah. Though. The way that you of manipulated Paul by in the like the goodbye interviews, where you're like, "Listen, it's not me. I want you to stay around. It's Paul." Yeah. And then you won over all the jury votes, and I feel like it's just a perfect setup for like the in the moment interviews that you do now on the challenge.
Yeah. I think that's one thing. It's like you also people don't get the relationships and the friendships you form, dude. I build really good friendships with people on Big Brother and the challenge, and it sucks that it doesn't make the edit. But at the end of the day, dude, like. These people, you're taking their chances away from 500,000, and you know, they're the ones voting for you. So I was very aware at the fact that like with my goodbye messages, just like not to stick in the knife and just like rub it in their face and just be honest. And I think that's what got me the win, just being real with them. Whereas in like, I love Paul, we're best friends now, but like denying it and he kept denying and just sticking to his plan and just backfired, you know?
To pivot back to the challenge a little bit and relationships, do you think your game is better this season because you aren't spitting game because there's no love interest?
No, I think it's worse. Honestly, if I'm being real, I think that if there was a girl in there that, and I mean, there was, me and Melissa kind of had a little thing, but it wasn't nothing serious. But I think if like, a girl that I was really interested in would be in that house, it would have been way lighter for me. Bro, I was set up. When I saw the lineup going into the season compared to season 34, I was like, I'm touching a final. I'm like, I'm seeing a final. I had so many friends going in. I had all of Big Brother. I had strong friendships with a lot of, like, Jordan and Johnny and all of them. So I was like, I'm set. The only person that was, like, in my way was Wes. I was like, hold, I just blindsided the guy. So he's, like, my only real person that I kind of have an issue with. But I think that I invested so much of my energy into that, whereas in like, let's say George or somebody else was in the game that I would have connected with, I wouldn't have cared as much, you know? So I think I wish that, I honestly wish Georgia was in there because we vibe well and we have a good friendship and relationship, but we'll see moving forward in other seasons how that plays out. I don't think I would have put so much focus into like the whole Swaggy thing and the whole West thing if she would have been in the game.
I got to ask, when did you guys find out that Melissa was pregnant?
We didn't. We found out
really?
When we didn't. And you know what? I saw her have mood swings. Like one moment she would be so happy and then crying. And then she went through a really tough time in there, which they don't show. And now I understand why, because the girl was pregnant, you know? But we didn't find out until she said it on social media. At least I didn't know. Yeah.
Wow.
We never knew in the house. Yeah.
So
respect to her.
Yeah. So you mentioned a little bit earlier. So we are theoretically ESPN's number one challenge podcast. So
yes.
some of our audience out there, some sports fans out there. So you mentioned you played some sports growing up. What were you kind of into when you were growing up?
So I played baseball and football. So I was a pitcher.
Oh,
and
nice.
And then I was, and then I was an offensive lineman. I played till I was 15 football, and then I just committed to baseball. Yeah.
Oh, really? So did you play baseball past high school?
I went on and then played in college, but then I stopped playing. I had like family personal issues and all that. So I had to stop playing.
Yeah.
Honestly, as soon as I got into college, it was hard, but that's why I feel like I get that whole competitive side and I get to release all that with the challenge. Whereas in like with Big Brother, I really didn't get that. So I'm really happy that, you know, my dream was to go pro. I was like, I'm going to play baseball and I'm going to go pro. And that didn't work out for me. I wasn't good enough to get signed. And now it's like, I'm still in some sort of way. Still playing sports or just like still competing. So it's dope.
The fifth major sport, the challenge is the fifth major sport, right? Yeah.
I agree.
I put it four. It's above the NHL in my personal rankings, but you know, to each their own.
Agree.
Well, and in terms of, I mean, talking about, you know, it's a sport, we get amazing matchups in sport. Wes, Bananas, in terms of the eliminations you've witnessed, maybe both watching or in person, like where does that rank all time for you?
Oh, one of the best. Like, I've watched the show. So I wasn't a huge fan like I was a Big Brother, but I've watched the show and I was well aware of like their whole, relationship. And it's just, it's sick. I think all the fans wanted to see that. They knew that, yeah. You know, that we were all hyping it up. You kind of see Corey and Nelson, but I think the whole house wanted to see that happen. And I don't think Wes wanted to go down, but when he had that pressure from like just from, I think he knew it was going to make good TV. And that's why both of them are just good for the, they're great at the show, man. They're good at what they do. And I think win or lose, they made great TV. And it was from a, like, putting myself in a fan's like point of view, it was really good to watch. So, I mean, and they're both, bro, I got to give Wes is good at this game, bro. Like, I wish – I don't – they've shown it with seasons, but Wes is really good. So, I don't think that loss takes away anything from him, you know.
It seemed like you were itching to get in there, though. Are you upset or you didn't want to go up against Johnny since he was your friend?
I didn't. So, I think that – you know, at that point, we were so late into the game and the pressure was on. It was like anxiety killing us, but I did not want to go up against Johnny. And there was one person I didn't want to go up against. It was Johnny. I think I was having such a hard time in there personally. I was struggling really bad. Like I've struggled with anxiety and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And Johnny and Nani, which you guys don't really get to see, but there were people that were just like helping me in so many ways. We built a really good friendship. And, you know, he was definitely somebody out of the guys that was in my corner. So I didn't want to go up against him. So that's the only person. But anybody else, you know, I honestly don't care how they portray it or how they show it. I was willing to go up against any other guy, but I just didn't want it to be him.
Did Jenna and Kayla want to go home? Because we were wondering, like, how did Nani manage when she was in charge? Like, she had the power and lost both her allies. And
Never been done before.
There was an arrangement there that we didn't see on TV that they're like, listen, we both have to kind of go home and fix things with our boyfriends.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that, but there was definitely, there was something. I don't want to talk about that, but yeah,
that's enough.
Checked out.
That's what we know. That's good. That's, just plant that theory. Everyone can go take that and do what they want with that.
Basically, exactly. Nani didn't botch it. Something was going on there. Nani did not mess up.
I'm defending Nani in that situation. Nani did not botch it. And it sucks that it was edited that way, but she did not botch it. I think that, you know, the girls were checked out at that point. I think the game got to them. They had a lot of going on outside and I don't blame them. Because with the pressure of the game and their personal life, that was breaking them down. But, I think that, Nani got screwed with that edit, for sure.
Pivoting a little bit, you were just talking about Wes and how much respect you have for his game. Obviously, great relationship with Bananas as a really close friend of yours. We've been trying to gauge from people, like, who do you think is the all-time ultimate player from the challenge? Either someone you've played with or against or just watched from afar?
There's so many, man. And you can talk about like CT and the ones that I've played with, you know, like CT's great at the game. I feel like he's like the dad of the house. Like we all go to him and like, you know, I don't think anybody ever wants to target him, go against him. He would have been pretty set if he didn't jump in so early into that elimination. But, I think for me, friendship wise and just, you know, seeing how they play the game, I think Jordan and Tori are just amazing. Like, on a competitive level, socially, politically, they're just good. And just physically, man, they're some of the best to compete in the game. Jordan has proven that. Tori has proven that. I don't need to speak on that. But them, just seeing them, how they play, they're really good at the game. And of course, Johnny and Wes. I'm just, you know, this is the thing. In my mind, when I go in, it's like, if you're not working with me, you're against me. And I know that I was never in his corner. Like, I'm never going to be in his corner. We could just clash in that game. Rivalries, I don't think that's ever going to happen. Trust me, I learned my lesson. But I think that just, I'm just not a number in his side. And that's, you know, it's scary. And I just see the way that he's just really good at the game. So I respected him too. So I think those four for me, playing with them and seeing how they play, I think that they're definitely some of the best to ever do it. Yeah. And that's why they're around. You know, they've been around for so long.
You had maybe the most iconic elimination I can remember with the you versus Jordan. Like, can we go back there for a second? Like,
that went on for like over an hour.
That's what I was going to ask because it was edited at this point. And you guys were soaked in
soaked.
Hour, dude. That's when I realized I'm like, this kid has so much heart. Because what you saw in that edit in that hour was probably like I think that Scott, our producer, told me, I think it hit like an hour 20 or something like that. It was getting close to like an hour 30. She said that they thought that I was going to win the first and the second round, but I'm like, he just gassed me out, dude. I'm 240, 6'1". Like, and I was on this little platform. He just outsmarted me and gassed me out. And that edit, I mean, he's proven just with that elimination. And I mean, it sucks that it had to be me, but yeah, that guy is good, man. And I just, my legs burned out, my body, my back gave out, and he kicked my ass. He kicked my ass, so props to him.
I'm glad you brought up that you're 240, 6'1", I think you said.
Thank God.
Because we have an odd fascination, and I don't know if you've seen this. We discovered on Twitter, there's a Twitter account that's just dedicated to finding out the real size of people on the challenge.
Challenge Height Truther, right? Is that the one?
Yeah. I promise I do not run the account. Yeah. Your eyes, I do not run the account.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, because I remember watching it and you know, fans of the show watching, like, CT's a beast, he's a monster, whatever. And then you look up his height, it's like, he's like 6 feet or something like that.
Yeah.
So how many people are not as large as they appear? Because I see things where, like, it says Kara's like 5'2" or something like that.
Oh, she's short. She's a small, I mean, she's fit, she's toned and very athletic, but she's a small girl. She's not that big. I think that CT was a shocker when I met him. For sure.
Really?
I think Johnny and Wes too, they look way bigger on TV. They're not that big, but I think CT, when I met him, I was like, holy shit, the guy looks massive next to all these guys on TV. And then he's not that big. I think,
how about Fessy?
Fessy's right? A giant. Yes. Fessy's just a monster. The guy's 6'5", 240 pounds of freaking, like, the guy's a beast. He's
the one that was, dude. The one that was shocking to us last year was Paulie when he's breaking down in the finals. He's like, I weigh 160 pounds. And it's like, 160 pounds? Like, you look pretty jacked. You must be like 5'6" or something.
Oh, no, he's ripped. He's just he's a small guy too. He's like, you know, no matter how ripped you are at that size, somebody that's 6 feet, 200 plus, the size, if it's anything physical, I think he knows that the size just doesn't match up. But, you know, he's a good competitor. I give him that. He's probably one of the best out of, you know, all the newbies that have come on, and like, he's definitely one of the best, and he may not get the credit from a lot of people. I'm not great friends with him, but I'll give him the credit that when it comes to competing, the guy's really good.
So one of the breakout stars of the season, in many different ways, I think you'd have to say is Nelson. Nelson has never failed to provide us entertainment all season, to the point that we've been compiling sound bites and video from the season. We've been asking each guest when we come on, and we have a little segment called What's the deal with Nelson here? Okay, so we're going to play you a little open here, and then we'd love to ask you a question about that. All right, here we go.
What's the deal with Nelson?
The deal.
What the f*** is up with Nelson?
What's up with Nelson? I don't know, but I love it.
Nelson.
What's the deal with Nelson?
So, Josh, the question the question is very simple. Yeah. What's the deal with Nelson?
Nelson is a f***ing character. I'm sorry, I curse a lot. Nelson is a character. Dude, he's just a character. You can't hate the guy. You know, it's like, with me personally, we weren't in the same corner because he's very loyal to Corey. I knew that I was never going to get in that friendship. They had each other's back. They were like f***ing glue. But, dude, he was just, I mean, the shit that comes out of his mouth is f***ing comical. You can't deny it. And just watching his interviews is just a funny. I look forward to watching what the f*** he's going to say. So
yes.
He's a funny dude. And Liv, I got to know him pretty well. He means well. You know, he comes off very, like, he means well. You know, he means well. He does get in a lot of blows. He does say he says some out of pocket, but he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun with that. I just can't, I mean, last night was phenomenal. Like, oh, I'm great at multiple 50, choice. 50. Like, best of three, buddy. He's like, oh, yeah.
I think production knows at this point.
Yes.
Grill him on anything, they're going to get some stupid out of him. Like, they're gonna get to say some funny dumb shit. He's just a funny he's just a funny guy to be around. And you know, even like on a more serious note, I heard his personal story, which I'm not going to talk about, but like his life struggles, and that made me, and I think that a lot of us opened up on a personal level, and that bunker broke us down.
Yeah.
And just hearing what he's been through, dude, I got love for the kid. So he's a good dude. He just sometimes he should just put a foot in his mouth and just zip it, just shut up. But he's not a bad guy.
Who's the most fun person at the bar? Like, I live for Bear. When you guys get to go to the bar.
Oh, Bear. Bear.
Bear is the – dude, that guy's the life of the party. I'm telling you, it's like you're never going to have a bad moment with him. He's always – it's just good vibes all the time. And, dude, I don't – I'll tell you a little story. We have off days on Saturday, and we went to this bar. And I was like, all right, Bear, I don't drink much in the bunker. I try not to drink a lot in the bunker. But when I go out, I'm wasted. We have 2 hours to get drunk, and we got drunk. I'm like, all right, Bear, today I'm going to drink with you. Dude, I blacked out, literally blacked out. I tried keeping up with him, and I completely blacked out. They had to, on the bus ride back, I was screaming out the window, I love Prague. Literally had to stop at every gas station. Everybody hated me. They're like, they had to stop at every single gas station because I had to yak. Jordan was cursing me out. Jordan was like, Josh,
let's go.
Vomit in the bag, you ass. Like, I was getting yelled at, blacked out. And I realized, I'm like, I'm never drinking with Bear again. Tori and Kayla took care of me, literally, like, passed out drunk at the bunker. And they were like, I literally told them the next morning, I'm like, dude, I'm never drinking with you again. Love you, but I can't. He's the funnest. Like, when you want to drink, that's the guy you go to.
I love that.
So yeah. That's actually, it's something we've been curious about in each of these interviews as well, which is, you said you had Saturday off day. What is the challenge schedule like, both in terms of, I mean, you told us a little bit about the social schedule, but we think it's interesting in a lot of the stuff, you do a brutal physical thing to recover for it and have to go, you know, and whatever the timing is for the next elimination, the next challenge, whatever that is.
Oh, your body completely breaks down by the end of the season. You're all beat up by the end, yeah.
How close are each of the competitions, whatever you want to call them, together?
So I'm pretty sure we can say this. There's two challenges a week, and there's two eliminations a week. So there's a challenge on Monday, elimination Wednesday, challenge Thursday, elimination Friday. So it's, you have no time to really, and everybody in there is training. You know, we're training. If not two times a day, I made sure to run in the morning and then do like weights at night, but we were always training. So by the time you're 2 months in, dude, your body is shot. Wow. You know? Yeah.
Well, Josh, thank you for doing this. This was great.
Thank you guys.
You've done this.
We love you, Josh.
Yeah. Friend of the pod.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much. This was fun, dude. I'm really happy that I decided to do it. So I appreciate it.
Come back soon. Come back soon, Josh.
I appreciate it, guys.
Cool.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for having me. Soon, man. Take care, guys.
Are we a Josh pod now?
Weren't we originally a Josh pod when we thought we were going to get him like a month and a half ago?
I think we were like first a Josh pod, right? Like we were a Josh pod before a Laurel pod, before a Kayla pod. Kayla pod was the shortest, right? Kayla and Rogan pods were the shortest stints.
Oh, guys, yeah, we were a Rogan pod.
I think I'm really happy to say we're going back to our roots. We're a Josh pod.
Wow. I really like Josh.
Me too.
What a great guy.
I think what Banana said was true. He just is himself. He's just a nice guy, not putting on any airs. I loved talking to Josh.
It was very enjoyable. Hope to have him back on soon. So now we have the second installment of a segment we debuted last week. Out of nowhere, a statistician, and I should specifically say the Jordan Wisely unofficial ESPN's number one challenge podcast statistician materialized in my Twitter inbox, Ryan Brotman, who is a data analytics grad student at McGill in Montreal. So gave us a great debut last week. And without further ado, here is our second installment of Challenge Stat of the Week.
Hello, everyone. It's your boy Ryan back with the second edition of the Jordan Wisely unofficial ESPN's number one challenge podcast statistician stat of the week. That's a mouthful. So if you remember last week, our debut of this short segment, we looked at some of the older competitors and see if they have a prime in the show, looking at their elimination performance before and after 31. And it really drops off after that. This week, I wanted to incorporate the money that they won a little bit and to see an efficiency stat. So what we did, what I did rather, is come up with a stat, money per win and elimination wins. So it's the total money that they've won in the challenge divided by their challenge wins and their elimination wins. So this is to see who's earned their money and if there's any interesting things that we can take away from it. So firstly, we got to get rid of the people that haven't won any money on it, the Baileys, the Melissas, the people that haven't really been around for a long time. First thing that jumps out are these two big outliers here. We have someone who has a little over 53,000 per win and someone over 50. These are both explainable though. First one is Ashley, and she has by far the most cash winnings of any of the challenge competitors that are on this season from that one season that she got the $1 million. However, she still does have 21 combined challenge and elimination wins, so she has earned her money. She just has the benefit of that one huge prize. The one that's close by to her, which is a little more interesting, is Rogan. Look, I'm a Team J guy, so I wasn't too upset to find out a stat that talks a little smack to Rogan. So he has the quarter of a million victory, but he's only won 4 challenges and 1 elimination. So Rogan has kind of gotten by easily on it. He hasn't really earned his money, and I'll go as far as saying he's a bit of a fraud. Then we have some other ones. It's a big drop-off. D is a little over 20,000 because she also has that quarter of a million victory from last season. But she has 13 total wins compared to Rogan's 5 about the same time that they've had on the show. Then there's a few that are in the mid-thousands of money per the wins, but there's a few that are below it. There's 2 that are below $1,000 per win. We'll look at the higher one first. So this one is Tori. So Tori has won quite a few challenges. She has a total of 16 here, but she hasn't really been able to make much money on her time in the challenges. She was a finalist twice, and that's where her little bit of money comes from, but she hasn't had the chance to win it yet. Then the other one, the last one that I'll talk about here, is Anissa, 688 money per elimination. Anissa, we know she's been around for a long time, made a couple finals, but never really been able to win the big one. She does have 26 wins and 9 elimination wins for a total of 35, which really drags down the stat for the money that she has made. This is a fairly audio medium, so I don't know why I'm showing this, but we have a little graph here showing the breakdown with Ashley and Rogan as the clear victors of here, but for different reasons. Ashley, because she made a lot of money in one shot, and Rogan, because he kind of got carried and doesn't actually win all that much, but still got a quarter of $1 million. So, thank you very much. That is the second weekend of the Jordan Wisely, ESPN's number one challenge podcast statistician stat of the week. And I look forward to coming up with a new stat next week so we can dive into the numbers of the challenge. Have a good one, guys.
Big thanks to Ryan for crunching the numbers, which makes me think I'm hankering something else crunchy. Eliz, it's time for a crunchy recipe.
Well, I feel like I failed you a little bit because I don't think this recipe is crunchy, but it follows along with our theme. For anyone who remembers Josh on Big Brother, Billy alluded to this. The number one thing I associate with Josh on Big Brother is the word slash nickname meatball. Like, just Josh is a meatball. He called other people meatballs. So I have a meatball recipe.
I was shocked, Eliz, that you didn't want to talk to him about that. Like, I didn't think that we were going to ask him. Guys, on Big Brother, it was so weird because he would just call people meatball. And you're like, I think I even, like, looked it up, like, on Urban Dictionary. Like, did I miss something? Is this, like,
a I didn't know if it was a good call? Thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, like, I couldn't figure it out either.
He called other people meatballs, but then he like said he was a meatball. But
it was both a compliment and an insult somehow.
Just depending on the tone or something. Yeah. But like when he said that Big Brother was just sort of a negative experience for him, I was like, I don't want to keep asking him. This wasn't great.
Yeah. Anyways. It also maybe, you know what? It was Big Brother's editing fault that we don't know if it was a compliment or an insult. Yeah.
It's true. So anyways, and I mean, this is a compliment, not an insult. Here are some meatballs in honor of Josh. So not your traditional Italian meatball in sauce. Ooh. We're going sheet pan barbecue turkey meatballs.
Wow.
So we're going to dice and saute or caramelize 1 large sweet onion. I love a Vidalia. And throw in some minced garlic as well. Let that cool. Gather the rest of your ingredients. Preheat your oven to 450 degrees. In a large bowl, we're going to put 1 pound of ground turkey. I'm sure you could do ground chicken, maybe ground pork, ground beef. I went turkey. An egg. Instead of breadcrumbs, I went 1/2 cup of panko breadcrumbs. Light, crispy, great, not seasoned. Then magic sauce, 1/4 cup of barbecue sauce. And some salt and pepper to taste. So you're going to take off any rings or jewelry, dig your hands in, start combining it. Don't overwork it. The meatballs will be tough. Gonna, once it's combined, put it on a baking sheet, form 10 to 12 meatballs, brush with some more barbecue sauce, bake for 10 to 12 minutes in a 450 degree oven, take them out, flip them over, brush some more barbecue sauce on the other side, bake them for another 10 minutes, and then eat them.
That sounds fantastic.
That made my favorite recipe.
I was going to say, really? it was TikTok copy was holding the top spot.
Yeah.
But these meatballs sound absolutely
electric. So good.
I think I might try to make those in the next few days.
I like to eat them. I like to spiralize a sweet potato and eat that like almost like noodles underneath.
Well, that was fantastic, Eliz. I'm very hungry now. I think I need to just make a one correction from last week's show. This is my fault. We were discussing our Laurel campaign. Specifically, Laurel had reached out with a nickname that she wanted to be called that we were going to associate with our campaign to get Laurel back on the challenge. And this nickname, True Challenge Overlord, or True Elimination Overlord, I should say, was from an article written on Medium by an author whose first name was Alan. And I said his last name partially right. And one of the pronunciations, I said Aguirre, but I'm going to need Billy's help here for the true pronunciation of his last name.
You got to roll the R. So it's Aguirre. Aguirre. Try to roll your R. Can you roll your tongue or no?
Aguirre.
There you go.
Alan Aguirre.
That's good.
Okay. So Alan, thank you once again. We love the nickname. It's going to be part of the campaign. But now we've said your name right. So thank you. Elis. You got any final thoughts?
I actually forgot that I do this. I feel like I forget this every week. I felt like I crossed the finish line with a good recipe and I was off the hook.
No, you're not off the hook. Give us your final thoughts.
Okay. I feel a little peer pressured to say this, but work hard, be kind. #NeedTheFeed.
Need the feed!
Let's go!